Bobhole's Bungalow, Tales from the Typing Trenches by Carol Shaw, is a lighthearted account of Shaw's year as a young professional secretary for the legendary Bob Hope during 1983 and 1984. It chronicles her time at Mr. Hope's Toluca Lake residence in the bungalow with Bob, his writers, staff, and celebrity friends. It was a one-of-a-kind adventure filled with jokes, zany antics, and her Lucy-like escapades. I talked with Carol about her upcoming book, Bob Hope's Bungalow. You have a new book out. It's called Bob Hope's Bungalow, and it's about your year.
Yeah, 13 months.
15 months, okay.
13.
13.
Yes.
Do I hear 12? Okay. 13. Okay, 13 months. And you worked for probably one of the most well-known entertainers of the 20th century, Bob Hope. And it's really a behind the scenes looking of what went on in that office, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a unique experience, nothing I've ever come across before. And it was a lot of fun. My first day, I was crying with tears were like running down my face because the jokes kept coming and coming because you had to answer the phone and then they got the writers go, we've got 20 jokes. Like, oh my God. So there were 5 writers. Can you imagine?
And that's just
writers.
One day.
Sorry.
How many? Writers. 10? Okay.
10, yeah.
And that was just the first day.
Yeah. And I started before the secretary number one started. So I started at, it was 9 o'clock. She came in at 10. So I got everything all at once at 9. So I got there before 9 because it was crazy.
and I love the behind the scenes. I mean, Bob Hope, the first time you laid eyes on Bob Hope, well, I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to word this. he was all natural almost.
almost all natural. Yes, because I have never worked for a boss that showed up. I called it skivvies. And that's all he wore. And I went, what? I couldn't say anything, right? You know, I was brand new to the job. It's like, holy cow.
That's whatever.
I had worked for lawyers in the past, and they were very straight as an arrow. But when I went in there, I was like, wow, what am I getting into? Marie warned me. Marie said that first day. She warned me.
That's got to be every young woman's dream to see an 80-year-old in white Speedos.
Yeah, it was.
It's a sight you can't unsee, isn't it?
Tom Selleck. Oh, no.
But tell me, now your book, you've got, you know, you've met all of his family during the time. You met all the people who worked with him. It wasn't a very big office, was it?
In fact, his office was separated from his home. It was down the road, kind of, had a blacktop road that led to his luxury mansion. And we were in the bungalow part, which was the first thing you saw when you drove in through the driveway. So it was 1, 2, 3, 4, about 6 people in there, 7.
I've been in those kind of offices before, yeah. And let me ask you, the atmosphere in the office, was it one of like, let's say, you know, you're working for a celebrity and you either have two kinds of offices. You either have one where everybody supports each other, everybody is helping each other. And then you've got the other kind, which is like sharks, you know, everybody out for themselves. Which kind of office?
It was, you know what? The two secretaries at the back where I sat in the two army desks, they were, you know, we worked together. And then the two secretaries in the front, Marie and Nancy, they were for Mrs. Hope. Marie was like assistant to Nancy. And then there was the bookkeeper who looked directly at me. But everybody kept to themselves pretty much. You did your own thing. You knew what you had to do. It was all brand new to me. Like, I had to learn how to turn all the, you know, he had two safes of jokes. And I had to laugh going, why? Why would you have a safe full of jokes? Of course, it's Bob Hope. So he had two of them. I had to know the combinations to get into the
safe. Oh my
God. After old jokes.
But they were, I think after his death, he sent them to the Smithsonian, if I'm not mistaken.
He did.
Yeah. So, and I'm watching your computer bounce up and down.
Keep going. Yeah.
But I was also, I mean, it's chock full of stories, and really, I mean, we touched a little bit about him the first time you saw him, and I don't mean to dwell on that, but
you are. I did too. I told many people this story, and they're all like,
I mean, it was like he was not modest. Let's say that. Let's put it that way.
He was himself. He was in his own estate. He was comfortable. People came and went. I think he was getting ready for a trip, is really what happened when I, you know, called me over. Mm-hmm. Like, okay.
Let's find Armando.
It was the only time that he was dressed. So.
See, nowadays, though, you could, I mean, that wouldn't fly nowadays in the Me Too, with the Me Too movement.
Me Too, they would have him roasted over a bonfire.
Now, Armando seemed to be the
best. Armando, I loved Armando.
The gardener.
He wasn't a gardener. He was the driver. He drove him around Toluca Lake, Burbank, wherever he had to go to the airport. He drove him everywhere. They're almost like buddies, you know, because yeah. Armando was the most easygoing person I've ever met. And he was fun, and he had a sense of humor. He always gave, he had this look. He'd give me a look like, you believe this? And he didn't say anything, but oh my God, he made me laugh more than Bob Hope sometimes because he was hysterical. He was always doing, you know, he's Catholic.
Especially when Hope was driving, right?
Oh my God, yeah, the driving, that was insane.
Yeah, this is a man, I mean, he's 80 years old and his eyesight is failing. It's almost like Mr. Magoo driving.
Exactly, that's why he was on the sidewalk. You know how, don't want to believe that can't do something. He could do anything, and he did. I mean, not well, but one thing he did well was tell jokes. You know, he was the master of ceremonies at the Academy Awards
19 times.
He was really good at just dropping jokes. You know, he had thousands.
It was, you know, you were the new person in the office.
Yeah,
and
the youngest.
The youngest one in the office.
Yeah.
Your hair was a little bit different than it is now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was like big. Like an afro, kind of.
Kind of like, yeah, kind of like.
My hair takes a curl like you wouldn't believe.
And I mean, I'm surprised he didn't say something about your hair.
He never said a word. Oh, my God. But I did catch him looking, going, nobody ever said a word, because you know everybody had really big hair in those days.
Mm-hmm.
Really big. Mine was.
There are so many things in the 15 months that you worked there. I wondered, could you? could you keep up with everything? Obviously, it was what, 1983. In 1984, which I was just out of college during those days, because we still use stone tablets, not the internet, you know. And
I was in shorthand, and I told this one woman that I had an interview with, and she said, oh, that's so passe, shorthand, oh, that's old school. Great. No,
they were surprised you were able to type how fast. 100, did you say 125?
120
120 words.
120, yeah. shorthand was pretty fast too. So.
And that's how got. That's what got you the job, wasn't it? I mean, or the referral.
I came from the legal background, so I got glowing, reviews from my former, the lawyer I worked for, and he thought the world of me, and he had really very fine things to say about me. I felt like I was pretty decent, because every time I went for a job, I got the job, even temp jobs. Temp jobs were the big thing in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
You can find a job in one day fast. They don't have them anymore, I don't think.
No, I think everybody works from home.
They might, but not as much.
Yeah, they work from home on the internet now.
That's right.
You know, it's like...
That was unheard of.
But you also found out who to go to if you needed something. Yes. Mark Anthony, who intimidated you.
Yeah, he was fun. He was very quiet, but kind of. He was kind of to himself, but kind of friendly, but not friendly. You know what I mean? He was kind of sarcastic, let's put it that way.
Okay, but and then you also let's talk about his dogs.
Oh my god.
Are you still having nightmares over snow job and Shadow?
That went on for a couple of years. Finally I got over it, but boy, those dogs, they were man eaters. I'm not kidding. Literally, they bit people. Luckily, not me.
They bit one guy on the backside.
Oh yeah, oh my god, this one writer was telling me I can never turn my back on these dogs because they chomp me on the butt, they bite, and sure enough he did do it one day, and it was like, oh my god, you heard the scream, he let out a scream.
And they but also a more serious dog bite was the previous secretary.
I know, that's what scared me the most, because Marie told me the whole story. I'm like, oh, and there's a whole thing where I'm alone with the dogs and mm-hmm. I'm freaking out because I remember that story in graphic detail. Yeah, she had to go surgery. That was pretty serious.
Yeah, that was, that was kind of scary.
In fact, she bought a gift shop in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
Nice settlement.
So. Nice settlement, yeah. It's like it was worth it. Hey,
I don't know if I'd want to go through that.
I know.
He could never type again because he bit her right there on the hand.
Oh my gosh.
Other areas.
What's the favorite story that you have in the book?
Favorite story, probably. There's so many of them. I think it was the when I first met him. That was my favorite story because nobody believes me. It's like, I'm not kidding. Why would I kid about that? favorite story.
The Naked Bob Hope. Okay.
Naked Bob Hope.
Three quarters Naked Bob Hope. Okay.
I know.
He's on his back.
Mrs. Hope isn't alive to hear about this. She's probably rolling over in her grave.
That was my next question about everybody seemed to be scared of his wife, Dolores.
She was she didn't mess around. If she didn't like something, I mean, she's the reason everybody called him Mr. Hope. Usually you'd think you'd call him Bob. No, she insisted that everybody show respect, call him Mr. Hope. And, she was kind of strict. Even her secretary. She was very sharp with her too, so
you didn't mess around with her.
She would cry. That's serious. I haven't worked for anybody. Well, there were a few people that made me cry.
I was wondering. Did they? I'm surprised. Well, maybe they didn't have these back in the 1980s. NDAs, non-disclosure agreements.
I never signed anything.
Yeah.
Maybe they thought I wouldn't last. I don't know. I outlasted the other secretary, so who knows?
Now that they're both passed away. Yeah. I mean.
Yeah.
And,
no, I never signed anything like that. Otherwise, they'd probably be sending lawyers after me.
Not the mafia guy that you mentioned in the book.
Oh, Mark?
Mark brought in two people.
Yeah, no necks. They had no necks. They were taller than Mark, and they walked like the Rock. You know, the Rock?
Yeah.
Dwayne Johnson?
Yeah.
They walked like that. And, you know, just like, wow. Because I didn't believe Marie. She told me this story about, there's mafia involved. Look at all the pictures on the wall. Wait till you see the guys come in that, you know, Mark associates with. And I did. And it was like, wow. Who knew?
Wow. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I never associated Bob Hope.
It's not common knowledge.
Yeah. I never associated Bob Hope. Now, Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
I hope
it's. Don't forget they're from the same, you know, they're all in that same grouping. You know, he knew him.
Mm-hmm.
He knew, you know, Dean Martin and all those people. You got to figure.
Yeah. Richard Nixon would helicopter in.
I know. Yeah. I missed that one. I really wanted to see that. But Marie said it was like, you know, Vietnam with the helicopters and the thunderous noise and landing right in the backyard. My window at the back overlooked the backyard, so I would have had a front row seat. So, but I missed it. I think I missed it by a week or something.
And you went through. I guess this happens to everybody if people find out you work for a celebrity, mm-hmm. They want to take advantage of it, and yours was no exception.
Yeah,
you had
that guy. Yeah, yeah, that man that came over, he was on the phones with Kathy, and he invited her out, and she said, well, you know, I have to bring my the other secretary. So we all went out, and I don't know what his agenda was, but he was from New York, and we all went out and partied, had a good time, and I left before she did. She wanted to continue on, so I had the second limo drive me home. Or back to the, you know, Hope Estate.
That was at the Playboy Club?
That was
Rainbow Room.
Something else I went to through a friend of mine who pretended like he had a special pass to get in. No. That was humiliating.
But that was the Rainbow Room.
The Rainbow Room. I told about that I think it's kind of funny now, but at the time I was dying. I mean, I felt like the spotlight was on me. The comedian was making fun of me and him, and oh my God. It was crazy.
And but the other guy was at the Rainbow Room now.
I went to the Rainbow Room. That was totally different from the Playboy Club.
Right. That was another
venue. And you know, when you are in your 20s, 30s, I mean, you go out to all those places. So we hit every bar there was in Los Angeles, all the way down Wilshire, West Hollywood. We were having a great time, Beverly Hills. It was a fun time.
Tell me about your car. Was it a Firebird? Oh,
beautiful, beautiful Firebird. It was so beautiful. It had lime. It was like a key lime pie. It was that color, had white leather interior. The bucket seats were so luxurious.
Oh my gosh.
It was beautiful. I loved it. I wish it was in red, but I took green. That's all they had.
Do you miss it? Do you miss working in that kind of atmosphere?
You know, I think back and I think it was fun at the time and it was brand new to me, but I don't think I could have done it forever because as you know, money is important,
right?
And
Bob Hope did not like to spend
that well.
Yeah.
It was a $3.30 a week. It's like much.
And Bob Hope did not like to spend money, did he?
He did not. You heard that thing about I wrote about doing the autographing, and I got so good at it. I mean, Frances would, you know, she's the bookkeeper, she'd go, damn, you write just like him. And she mentioned it to him, Bob, and he He said, I don't believe you. He came downstairs. He says, I want you to sign my name. So I signed it. I had practiced for months, believe me. So I signed it, and he goes, he's looking at it, and he's going, thinking. And he turns to Francis, and he goes, keep Carol away from the checkbook. And he took the thing, the autograph that I had signed, and walked away with it. He gave me that look. You know how he can give you that look, like,
Don't let her near the money, okay?
Don't let her near my money.
I tell you what, what are you doing now?
Right now, I'm working on some books that I've always wanted to do. So that's what I'm doing.
Like what?
Books.
What kind of books are you writing?
I'm writing mysteries. I've written some other books that never sold because I sent them out, but I decided, you know, I'm gonna, first of all, I wanted to write one that I had been thinking about for a while, and it's just a mystery, and the other one is kind of an action adventure one. So I'm just working on that right now.
So this is really a rarity for you, writing a nonfiction.
Yeah, this is my first nonfiction, my first published book, actually.
All right, congratulations. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. It's kind of exciting.
Yeah, from Bear Manor. It's at Bear Manor Media. And now, I was looking for it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, but how can people order it?
They can order it through Amazon once it comes out. It hasn't come out yet, but all they have to do is go to Amazon, look for Bob Hope's Bungalow.
Mm-hmm.
The full title is Bob Hope's Bungalow, Tales from the Typing Trenches. Kind of a mouthful, but anyway, it'll eventually be on.
When is it coming out?
You know, I kept thinking it was going to be in June, but it might be July, one of those 2 months.
Okay, because BearManorMedia.com now has it at the front page.
I have an actual mock-up. My friend designed the cover.
I like the cover. Yeah,
you want to see it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. My orders here. So anyway, this is the cover. Can you see it?
I see the, bring it up a little. There you go. There's Bob and you with your hair.
Bob and me, yeah. You see it?
Fantastic. Yeah. All right. Yeah, there it is. Okay.
So that's what it's gonna look like. Steve Beers did the drawing. He's a fabulous painter. So look for his art showings that he has in Los Angeles.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, Carol Shaw, it's been fun talking to you tonight.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the book book will be coming out soon, Bob Hope's Bungalow, from Typing to the Trench, Tale from the Typing Trenches. BearManorMedia.com. You can go there and find out all about it, and pretty soon it'll be on Amazon and all the rest of the areas.
Got it.
So great. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
No problem.